Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, well, you don't want to carry around a big roll, so to speak.
but you could carry around like a little packet of those tissues that fit neatly into anybody's pocket.
Exactly.
If you're an SAS, you've got ninja clothes on.
Start the show by eating a biscuit.
I will and I have. Nom, 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 nom.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the football ramble.
Biscuit ramble.
It's biscuit ramble time.
I actually threatened to do a biscuit ramble. Well, not threaten, that's the wrong word. I
actually threatened McVitie's. We're going to expose the hypocrisy of McVitie's.
I actually volunteered to do a biscuit ramble with someone who follows me on Twitter, but they've since not come back to me. So that's their loss.
Got it.
Shame. That was the voice of Luke Moore, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
Pete Donaldson has finished his bit of biscuit.
Hello.
James or Jim is still in Edinburgh, but he will be back next week, I believe.
I think that's correct.
Okay. Mm, yeah. Well, we'll
see. We've not taken an interest, which is bad by us, but I think he's back next week.
And I am him, Marcus C. Speller. It's the season to be jolly. But we're going to start with a question, and the question is, gentlemen, who is your favourite tashed football player from Liverpool Football Club history?
It's very specific.
Yeah. Somebody hasn't bothered to prepare anything.
There's a good pull to choose from.
There's a selection.
I can think of four straight away, but I'm going to go for Ian Rush.
Straight in.
Because it was almost like, if he had gone any narrower, it would have been Hitler-esque.
He kept it for a while.
Yeah.
A long, long time.
Can we all agree longer than was necessary, but not as long as Mark Lawrenson?
That's true.
Who only shaved his off five, 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll go for Ian Rush.
Ian Rush is a strong start.
And I'm gonna put a caveat in this for you two.
No, you're not.
Ian Rush and John Aldridge are interchangeable, so you can't have Aldridge, because they're practically the same person.
They are,
you
aren't
can't
they?
Have him. That's absolutely preposterous.
He's like
someone else.
Aldridge is like Ian Rush left out in the sun. It's withered a little bit. He's a little bit thinner, a little bit leaner.
Aldridge. A little bit not as good.
A little bit not as good.
Rush was a bit of a player, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Pete.
I'm going to go for Grobbelaar, because it looked like he'd been...
excellent one.
It looked like he'd been drinking hair, if that makes any sense. It's a sort of milky moustache, a milky sort of porno tash, isn't it? Really?
I'd describe it as a cookie duster.
A cookie duster, good, yeah.
Slug.
Yes, slug, hairy slug.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It just added to his appeal. I think he carried it off quite well, to be honest.
I almost certainly liked him more because of it. I can't offer any more compliment than that.
Mm. I'm so glad I can remember Grobbelaar when he was playing.
Yeah.
It was great stuff.
Yeah.
what a wonderful man. I'm going to have to go for Graeme Souness then.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'm pleased he didn't go for Aldridge. Would have been a shame. Souness, hardest man to ever wear a tash.
Oh, now there's a question. That we don't have time for.
Another day. Yeah. You could have had Lawrenson. You could have had Aldridge, as we said.
Southall.
Could have had Southall. We didn't play for Liverpool.
Everton. You said hardest player. Sorry.
I didn't
say the Liverpool bit again.
Yeah, I'd say fattest.
I wouldn't mess with Southall.
Oh, the points are without a shadow of a doubt going to Pete Donaldson.
Well, yay.
You're gutted about that, Luke, because you thought you'd wrap
them up. Let me do the legs.
Oh, it's the grobbly wobbly legs.
Celebration.
The grobbly legs.
Grobbly legs.
Let's talk about a man who had a tash of late, but it's gone. It's Joey Barton.
Oh, yeah. Well done.
Thanks. I just about got there.
I think that Joey Barton's goal was absolutely superb,
yeah.
And it backs up what I said a couple of weeks ago about how he's got all the billet in the world. He just needs to sort his head out. I was ridiculed for that.
Who by? The public?
Yeah. General public. Yeah.
He's not that good. I watched him a bit last night. He's not that good.
Pete, I said at the start of the podcast, I'm going to say it again, on behalf of the Newcastle race, is this the season to be jolly? You just won 6-0.
It was a good result. Luke wrote on the running order, Pete Wankathon. So shall I start that now?
Yeah.
Or?
All right. Oh, I thought that was another bloke who was going to come in.
That's a new signing.
It was decent. I thought.
It was decent. You won 6-0 in the Premier League against
Aston Villa. Were as bad as I've ever seen Aston Villa for like 10 years. They were awful. Yeah, Enrique just destroyed. Like he just couldn't. They couldn't handle Enrique. They couldn't handle even Routledge as well. It was not that much of a player, but he beat his man every single time. The final ball probably wasn't there every single time. But and my much maligned striker Andy Carroll got a 3. So
he did.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah. Oh. Back a week. Oh, Amiobi's our best striker. We got no other good striker.
I stand by that still. I think if he can work on his heading, like when Rooney could work on his heading, if we get one match where we only get one chance and we need to put it away, he's not the man to do it for me.
Fair enough. I think that's a fair point. One thing I'd add to that about the game is that Stephen Ireland telephoned in the worst midfield performance I've seen in the Premier League. Now I know he's been out, he's not played a lot, and he's moved to a new club, but that was the worst midfield performance since, do you remember when John Barnes went to Charlton and sort of gave it a go in the middle of the park?
And Gordon Bennett,
yeah, he did. And Stephen Ireland only gets more points than John Barnes because Stephen Ireland made a concerted effort to leave the centre circle, which Barnes never did.
I completely forgot about Barnes there.
It was an awful performance, wasn't it?
But Villa. Do you think Villa will Randy Lerner from this?
Hey.
That was awful, wasn't
well,
it?
No, just an excuse.
That was as
that
bad as their performance.
the players are sort of saying that they underperform and they underestimate Newcastle, but they're going to be playing other teams that are coming up. So, I mean, I find that very hard to believe. The players on the field, I think Agbonlahor could have made the difference for them, to be honest. And if the penalty had gone in, perhaps it might have been
that's
very, very
woeful
different.
Penalty.
It was a terrible penalty.
The thing was, it wasn't even the top three worst penalties of the week. which we'll come on to later. That was a terrible penalty.
We certainly would. And this wasn't even the only 6-0 of the week. No.
Speaking of penalties, I've just got to mention Monday Night Football's back. Obviously, we're recording on a Wednesday this week. We normally record on a Monday, so we don't get to see Monday Night Football, which is a shame.
Yeah.
But we saw it this week, and
wow,
it's amazing.
Wowzers!
It's like Brokeback Mountain in the future with football. Good Keys and Gray. But
there's too much for my mind to fathom.
Yeah, but before I move on, Richard Keys has said, which is the most amazing example of back logic.
I didn't see Monday Night
Twisted
Football.
Logic I've ever heard. He said. If we talk about the penalties and people have been missing penalties and things like that, I mean, Stockdale saved one, Foster saved one, and Carew's missed one and all that sort of thing. And he said, Andy, our penalties getting easier to save? And Andy Gray went...
To his eternal credit, he went, I'm not letting you have that one.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Well, more keepers are saving them.
Yeah.
And then Andy Gray proceeded to draw an arrow down every goal. He just he kept on forgetting where he was. He's going, where am I? Yeah. Where's the button? And he just kept... It was like a big, stupid gadget showroom.
Getting easier to say?
It was like the ill-fated Saturday afternoon when I tried to introduce my granddad to MSN Messenger. That's what it was like.
What a press now. What's that little yellow smiley man?
Does he work for those news corporations who go, when like kids do really well at their A-levels, our exam's getting easier?
I did love that little bit of AstroTurf that they've put in the corner for Andy Gray to sort of touch each other and sort of... He touches Gray a little bit.
Is that officially named the Midlife Crisis Corner?
There's a football sat there. There's sort of like a goal net motif at the back. It's got everything.
I have to confess, I didn't see this. I haven't seen the Monday night.
I was genuinely surprised. I was sort of thinking, was this all last season? Because I was a bit
they should take
no,
the name.
I've got on ESPN.
No, brought it back. No.
Sounds like they should take the name. Is it the wrestling that's called Monday Night Raw?
Yeah, that's.
I think that would probably quite suffice here.
But the worst thing is, mate, it's nothing dissimilar to that. It's exactly what that would be.
Hang on a minute.
If it was football.
It has to be dissimilar.
No, but only because of the sport. That's the only thing that changes it.
Men in a ring.
It just basically serves as another vehicle to just confirm that Andy Gray is a massive, flapping vagina of a man.
But yeah, it does have access to many plasma screens.
Yeah, it does. And for that, we give him credit.
I just thought he draws all the players. He goes, and then he goes there. Just put them there before you get there, Andy.
Yeah.
It's not chess. Come on.
Sorry. We are going to have to move on from that. Excuse me. Chelsea beat Wigan.
They did. What a turn up.
Pete, what is happening
again,
to Wigan?
What is happening to Chelsea? Like you said last week, it was just, they didn't even have the good grace to have a swagger about it. They just got on with it.
A friend of mine suggested the other day that Wigan's defence is the worst defence in Premier League history. Now, you remember Derby 07-08? That is a terrible defence.
You called Derby 07-08. I remember that, Luke. Yeah. You said at the start of the season you thought they would get less than like 20 points or something. I can't remember their tally, but the point you were making was they're going to outrageously low.
Well, I don't know what Wigan are going to do, because I don't see how signing the other arguably worse Coldwell brother is going to help them.
Do you not?
Not really,
I thought that was a piece of genius.
No.
It was a weird old signing, wasn't
Chelsea are just brushing teams to the side. I mean, it's absolutely outrageous. It gets to the point now where you watch the first or second goal go in, and you feel, well, I might as well just turn over. They're going to score at least five. I remember that. I also read a news report that someone in the Wigan match report, the official Wigan website, the headline was something like, Wigan Latix unfortunate not to get a result after acquitting themselves well. They lost 6-0 at home. And they played all right in patches, but they were never anywhere near getting a win.
The other 6-0 we've got to mention is Arsenal 6, Blackpool 0.
Oh yeah, Walcott hat-trick.
The great thing is, though, for Blackpool, is they're only minus 2 on goal difference. After winning 4-0 the previous week.
It's going to be a good season for Blackpool fans.
Up and down.
Definitely. I mean, Holloway, you know, after we said in the first week he was quite sort of quiet and reserved, and he sort of understands that he needs to tone it down a little bit. He's been back. He sort of said before the Arsenal match, Arsene Wenger loves Arsenal so much he's named himself after it or something like that. Oh god. And then afterwards he said, we need to sign some big lumps.
Yeah.
Did someone correct him about that Arsene Wenger thing, by the way?
I hope so. One of the things I found out, I'm not sure, Marcus, if you know if this has happened much before, but Ian Holloway missed the last Blackpool game, which was a Carling Cup game, to go and look at a transfer target. So they had a game and he didn't go to the game, he went to another game.
Yeah, it's not common.
It's a bit odd, I thought.
Well, I quite like that.
Surely the club should have scouts. Well, scouting network.
What, the manager being too busy to manage his own team on the day of a game?
Well, a Carling Cup.
It's got to be a scouting network.
Don't cheapen it.
If it was a Cup Winners' Cup, I would be livid.
Or
the Anglo-Italian.
Now we're talking.
I think point taken. What a goal by Gareth Bale to win for Spurs. Technique
so
on that.
So high.
Yeah. Strokes it in as well. Classic example of not trying to smash through the ball, not trying to hit it too hard, just doing what you got to do to get it, you know, to just caress it in. And it was really just a stroke of the ball in. Such a cultured left foot, Gareth Bale. In my opinion, you know, and I'm no massive Spurs fan or anything, but in my opinion, Gareth Bale's got the potential to be one of the very best left side players in Europe, in my opinion.
You said that actually, I think, a year or two ago as well. Luke Moore's predictions, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't mention any of the rubbish ones. There's loads.
I'm doing you a good service.
Don't mention the Andre Voronin one from a couple of years ago. Which I did actually put money on as well.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I won't. I refuse to mention you telling me that he's going to be the best part of the season. Man City beat Liverpool convincingly, didn't they?
Yes, they did. And Liverpool were... it's a difficult one because...
were they phased by the studio, Pete?
Yeah, possibly.
They probably didn't want to have a part of it.
Someone mistakenly showed him like a clip of Monday Night Football beforehand. It was like an Event Horizon moment, and they couldn't get it out of their head.
I don't want to be involved in this game anymore. Yeah.
But they, I think, in fairness, I don't think Hodgson really, and by his own admission, I don't think he fully knows what his best team is yet. But I saw a great quote that someone wrote. I think it might have been in the Guardian or something, saying that Liverpool played 4-4-2 with an English manager and man marked, and they still lost. What more do you want? What proof do you want?
Didn't he want to sort of play Mascherano, but he just turned us off, basically?
Well, there's conflicting reports. One is that Mascherano said that he no longer wants to be considered for selection, and one is that Hodgson said that his frame of mind is not right and he won't pick him anymore.
Does he?
He's agreed terms with Barcelona, but they can't agree a fee. There was a 12 million.
I heard he might want to go back to West Ham.
Is that right? Yeah. Pompey on loan? He'd probably fit in.
It's always an option. It's always an option. And that goes to all of us, I think.
He's training by himself, isn't he?
None of his team
will play with him.
But
I've trained by myself for years.
And friend of the Ramble, Matt Riley, described Yaya Toure's performance, or him as a player, as a lorry load of units. him and De Jong and the other players in the Manchester City midfield completely overwhelmed.
They got a lot of steel.
Oh, they have.
And some craft up front now with Tevez and Da Silva.
Do you think Gerrard's best position is just off a striker? Because people say that he's much better in the centre midfield, but he was anonymous, really. I mean, he had a couple of long range shots and a few tackles flew in, but he didn't do anything. He couldn't get hold of the game.
It depends who you've got in there with Gerrard, I think. You know,
Lucas, I think, is an all right player, though. I think Lucas is okay.
I think Lucas should play abroad. I think he would do a lot better on the continent. I don't think England's the style of league for him, really.
I've got N'Gog in my fantasy league team, so. Yeah.
I think N'Gog suffers from just not being Fernando Torres. he does.
I think we all suffer.
Speak for yourself.
Didn't Drogba disagrees with you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Good point for Fulham against Manchester United. Hanglin had a funny afternoon. End of the game, certainly.
Fulham always seem to do all right, mate, against Manchester United at Craven Cottage, don't they? Yeah. That would be the first point that Manchester United have got at Craven Cottage for three seasons. They lost the last two years.
Was it last two? I remember Cristiano Ronaldo scoring.
They definitely lost last year then. That's what I'll commit to.
It always looks like they're playing in the 70s because Fulham's so under sort of generated.
Yeah, I know. I think it's a really nice stadium. I've been there a number of times.
It's really nice. It can be a little bit quiet sometimes. Yeah. They're not massively vocal. I quite like the sort of neutral stand.
Skull scored a good one, didn't he?
Isn't he the best player of all time ever at the moment?
For my money.
I don't want to get bang on about Richard Keys, but Richard Keys said before that game that Paul Scholes is the favourite to be player of the year this season.
Really?
Well, he hasn't played it yet. What if he gets injured tomorrow for 6 months?
Well, apparently there's rumours that Fabio Capello might give him a last crack with England.
Try and get him out of it,
I mean, how old is Scholes now? Is he 35?
36, I think. 35, 36.
Is he really going to play in the Euros?
No, probably not. I don't really know how I feel about that, to be honest.
You've got to get farmed out on the left and not fancy
it. horrifically sunburned.
But it's like we said before with Beckham, he's kind of like the first generation of players that sort of looked after themselves massively.
Yeah.
And although he is asthmatic, as I keep bringing up, I'm sure he could do another couple of years. I doubt he'll want to drop down the league.
There's not much competition, is what you're saying.
He said he's always wanted to end his career at Oldham, which is a team he supported as a boy. Yeah. But it's weird, isn't it, what you say about them being sort of having staying power and stuff. If you think about Ryan Giggs, my brain won't accept that Ryan Giggs is ever going to retire. It's like, no, he's going to be playing for another 20
That's
years.
That's right, yeah.
He's scored in every single season of the Premier League.
That is incredible.
Think about that for
genuinely
a second.
Genuinely incredible.
No, I want to see his assists.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's a shame we haven't got those to hand.
And we can
amazing.
Say for certain he has done it on a cold and wet, windy night in Bolton.
Numerous times.
Yeah. Mm. Absolutely. So we mentioned Fabio Capello there. Jose Mourinho says England will never be good with Fabio Capello.
I think
just a little note from Jose there.
Yeah, he's. You see what the Sun ran a ridiculous back headline today. They put a pair of like donkey's ears on Capello and said he's basically said he's a dribbling idiot.
Didn't they sort of make out that because he didn't play Jack Wilshere and Andy Carroll? Yeah. Like, he's not calling up Andy Carroll. What the fuck?
The squad's not even picked yet, but Carroll and Wilshere are in the under-21s, aren't they? It's like, weren't the Sun giving Capello a load of stick a couple of weeks ago for picking Jack Wilshere? What do you want from them? Yeah, I think it's about time the FA stepped in, that sort of thing. It's getting ridiculous. Every single England manager. When Bobby Robson knew he was going to be finishing as England manager, I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying he banned the Sun from his press conferences.
Did he?
He refused to have them in there, yeah.
Class.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's a bit dodgy territory, isn't it? You start banning the press and stuff.
That's like the Ferguson with the BBC, isn't it? How long can you, how long can you keep it going?
I think it's the fact that it's the Sun,
Yeah, I'm all for it. Don't get me wrong, I'm just saying it's a bit dodgy. But I think Ferguson's apparently going to be fined every single week he doesn't talk to the BBC.
Apparently he's going to be fined by, isn't it the League Managers Association or something weird like that? It's not even the FA that's going to be fining him.
Do you know how much the fine is?
It's £1,000, I think, for the first offence.
I think he'll take it.
The multi-millionaire.
The Adrian Mutu school of being fined, of course, when he used to park his car.
That's right, yeah.
We've mentioned that
before. But that came back to bite him on the arse, didn't it? Well, 16 million quid or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think it was in parking fines, but...
Hello, Adrian Mutu speaking. Fine, I'll pay it. How much?
Poor bloke. When we were talking about Liverpool, we didn't mention Aquilani.
Oh, yeah.
He's going back to Italy.
Juventus.
Putting a hard shift for Liverpool. Cheers, thanks for your help, and off he goes.
There's a lot of players like that. They're there for a season, and they don't do anything, and then they bugger off.
I think I'd like to amend your statement. There are too many players like that.
Rubinho. Even Diamante.
To be fair, Rubinho did have a good start, though. But, yeah, I understand the point you're making.
Well, the thing about Aquilani is that we called it when he signed. People were saying, is he a good player? Is he a good player? And I had to say, I don't know. Yeah. I've not seen him play enough. Because the only time I can remember seeing him play...
Italy v Spain.
That was a standout one. I've seen him play a couple of times for Roma.
Euros, yeah.
But I don't think he's ever completed 20 games a season. You know, he's gone to Juve on loan for a year. Do you know how long? He had a 6-hour medical at Juve. 6 hours.
How much is your average?
I don't know, but I wouldn't imagine it's that long.
No. No, it can't be.
And he's. I think Juve have even got a £12 million option to buy him or something. But I mean, they signed Poulsen now, haven't they? So, I mean, imagine he's going to. Mind you, they're going to lose Mascherano as well, aren't
Liverpool
they?
Liverpool have signed Poulsen.
Yeah. Correct, yeah.
Arsenal have signed Seba Squillaci. Not quite Skillaci.
No. I'd rate Squillaci, though. I think he's a good player. I think he's. He's not that got. Yeah, he's not got an awful lot of pace, but he's a good player. He was a bit of a one at Sevilla as well because he said he refused to play in the Champions League first leg because he didn't want to be cup tied. Yeah.
I find that rule very stupid. I can remember Fernando Morientes when he played 20 minutes. Fair enough, he did score, but he played 20 minutes of a preliminary round for Real Madrid in the Champions League, and then he signed for Liverpool.
And he couldn't play,
and Liverpool got. Was it the year they got the final?
He couldn't
they
play,
certainly got latter stages. He couldn't play in any of them, and I thought, it's a ridiculous rule, that.
Yeah, for the preliminary rounds, I agree with you.
Preliminary rounds. I think, okay, if you sign someone when you're in the first round, then maybe, okay, they can't play in the quarters or something. But I always find that one, the cup tied rule, very funny.
But with Seba, he's going to be, he's going to put that the average age up, as will Schwarzer if he signs.
Skilacci's a weird signing for Arsenal because he's. Didn't Schwarzer fail a medical? I think he might have failed a medical.
Is that right?
Yeah, I don't know if that's unconfirmed at the moment, but Skilacci, he's 30, isn't he? So he's quite an old signing for. I think it's the right signing for him, though. He's not, like I say, he's not that quick. But he's decent. I mean, him and Vermaelen, for me, is a good. That's a good centre-back partner, in my opinion. You know, I think and Koscielny is back up as well.
Yeah. Well, because Gallas has gone to Spurs.
Yeah.
What?
Petulant child.
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who can I annoy now?
I actually think it's a reasonable signing for Spurs. That he's got a lot of Champions League experience. So
Gallas is a good player.
He loves Zone 1 and 2, doesn't he? he will not leave.
On the London Tube Network. Milner to City. Well, we talked about Stephen Ireland going.
It's a family club.
Yeah.
Club for families.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what
he
said.
He was properly annoyed, wasn't he, Ireland?
He was. To be fair, he did ruin his last season by going mental in the summer and, like, just trying all that. Remember, he did that fitness regime and it just ruined him. he didn't have that good a season, really.
No, he hasn't played well for a while. The thing about Stephen Ireland is when I saw that rant especially, I couldn't work out whether he's, like, a real, like, speak sense... good young man, or whether he's just like an unflushable turd of the highest order. I couldn't work out which it was.
An unflushable turd. Bellamy to Cardiff. Sorry, that's the big one for me, I think.
Oh, we've not talked about that.
No, we haven't talked about that because I like it how he's. He's, you know, there's the family connections there. He says, I'm going back and live at home with my family. You forget these things.
He could have done that 2 years ago. He didn't need to do that.
You're 30 years old, Craig. You don't need to live with your family anymore.
Yeah.
Grow up.
No, what I'm saying is, you know, you do forget sometimes that there are a lot of other reasons why players go to certain clubs. And he would love to take them up to the Premier League, wouldn't he?
It was a bloody good free kick. Did you see his free kick at the end of
He played well.
He absolutely leathered it.
Mm.
He's too good for that division. It's as simple as that. He's 7-1 or something to be top scorer.
Yeah, but I mean,
lump on.
And he's not even a an out and out sort of striker, you'd call him.
Yeah.
I think Schopper's going to score quite a few.
They've got a full of goals anyway, Cardiff. Mm. They are.
I mean, I think that.
He's instantly handed the captaincy, though, which is a bit rude, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's a bit horrible.
I quite like that.
Earn it. Speak now in the Premiership.
I'll sign for you. Yeah, fine. I want to be captain. I want direct free kicks, penalties, and corners if I fancy it.
I think you're right, Luke. Bellamy should be playing for a good Premier League side. But then, as I say, you hear his reasoning. He's going home, back to Wales.
But I think
he's playing for his boyhood. The team he supported, I believe.
Yeah, it is. But
and all that kind of, you think, oh, fair enough. And he did. He said he wanted to give them some good years as well.
Yeah, but I mean, he's only if he was in the setup at Man City, he'd still be at Man City. That's the bottom line. He wasn't. He could have left at any point.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. I mean, I think I do agree with partly with what you're saying, but I think it's reasonably convenient because if City would have allowed him to, he would have gone to Spurs.
Craig Bellamy's all about convenience.
Yeah.
Actually, that's not true because he. You know his the thing he's got in Sierra Leone, his footballing thing.
Academy, yeah.
Apparently, like anybody who wants to work there, he personally interviews them, and he has a lot of work there. And they were singing his praises.
Imagine an interview with Craig Bellamy.
Well,
it's surreal.
What do you know about farming, Craig? Yeah, yeah. What do you know about my life, Craig? Yeah.
But it was quite funny.
Put the golf club down.
I actually like Craig Bellamy. I think he's
in the right. Press conference, he had a slightly, you know, Craig Bellamy-esque moment where he was saying, you know, I'm so happy to be back here, coming back to Cardiff, da da da, and he looked at one of the journalists. He went, "You're Welsh. Are you happy to see me back here?"
Did
there
he?
You go.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, it's fair enough. Well, let's you know, let's go to the top.
Yeah,
Ozil
Pompey?
To Real Madrid.
Yeah, I mean they've got Ozil and Khedira now.
Yeah,
you know, two good signs.
Where's Kakar going to fit in?
Well, exactly.
Where's anyone going to fit in? We did Man City last week at Ramble Extra. On we solved that little problem.
Yeah. No, we never.
No, yeah.
Far from solved.
We highlighted that it was impossible to for mere mortals. I think, you know, they've got a reasonable amount of similar players there. I mean, Kaká, is he likely to move on? I don't really know, I suppose.
Who knows?
But
back to Brazil with all the other boys, maybe.
They've picked party time. He's not like that, though, is he?
No, he's not. No,
but Ozil and Khedira, I mean, they're the two of the standout players in the World Cup.
Yep.
Two of the two players who also, I believe, were sort of in the latter stages of their contracts. So the fees they picked up for them were quite good.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at, I know it's a difference between them, and it's a stupid comparison in a lot of ways. But they've picked up Ozil and Khedira for the same price as, you know, as Milner, City. You know, it's mental, isn't it?
Absolutely crazy.
Yeah. I know contracts come into play, and City. You've got a lot of money, so they change the market slightly. But it is still, the facts are there. It's still crazy.
I would find it incredibly unsatisfying to be a Real Madrid supporter. I just would. Every single year, you get everything you want, and if you mess up, you come
trophies.
Second. Well, yeah. Sorry, you, and if you mess up, like you come second, and it's like, well, why did I get so excited at the start of the season when you signed all these amazing players? Mm. It's like,
yeah.
It's every year. There's no fallow year with them. It's just
so at least with
constant.
At least with Barcelona, you know, when they did finish second with Rijkaard, when they had Deco and Ronaldinho playing, they just played some wonderful football. Yeah. You know,
it's crazy that the turnover of players. Real Madrid just seems to be absolutely spectacular. I mean, I was reading the day before yesterday that Perez is happy to write off Lassana Diarra as like a signing from the previous administration and let him go for like a reasonably small fee. It's like he costs 20 odd million. He's a good player.
Well,
that's crazy.
I mean, you look at someone like Raul. Now, I know he's a homegrown lad and all, but what a remarkable achievement for him to stay there.
Yeah.
Especially with such quality players coming in and around him.
Well, to a lesser extent, Guti as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I don't know whether I genuinely can't decide whether, and we'll know a bit more after the sort of first round of games, I suppose, but I don't know whether Real might be serious sort of double contenders. With Mourinho at the helm, you can't see past that.
Yeah.
They've got a chance in the Champions League because I think they generally have. I know they haven't done that well recently, but they've sort of always got there or thereabouts a chance, and they've definitely got a chance to win the title because it's a two-horse race.
Mm.
So you know they could do a lot this season.
Yeah. Well, let's bring it back down to a more realistic level. Edgar Davids has come out of retirement.
Yeah,
and he's
2 years
now
since he kicked the ball or something.
Now at Crystal Palace, I think he had been training with Ajax.
Well, he made his debut in the Carling Cup against Pompey, and I think the best way to spin that story was Marcus is by saying, "Not even Edgar Davids could keep David Nugent quiet." Because the Nugent opened his account for the season.
Did he really?
Yeah, great stuff. But yeah, David. I think David looked like Davids was playing left back to me.
Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, it was him.
But I mean, I think that, and I know that he went to Ajax. Didn't he actually sign for Ajax for a little while after Spurs?
In the beginning he did, yeah.
No, after Spurs. I don't know if he looked that great, but I mean, is he still good enough for the Championship? I don't know.
Pete?
That's a League One. I don't know.
League One, yeah. Yeah. Do you reckon they'll put him out on loan?
How funny would that? We'll just give you a bit of experience.
Experience? I saw a bit of Kyle MK Don speaking of the La Ligue slightly. Francois Zoko, the big Ivory Coast fella, he deserves to be a league above. He is a monster. He's monstrous.
Is he a lorry load of units?
He's a lorry load of units.
By the way, we got an email in. And someone said to me, I don't understand why Crystal Palace have signed Edgar Davids, because they're supposed to be investing in youth development and they've just yet let Matt Lawrence go. So it's not really the same thing, is it?
Yeah. Pete, you've got an email?
I've got an email, yeah. It's quite a nice one. I quite like this one. It's from James Knight in Exeter.
Is he a knight in email armour?
Ramble Force, ho!
Oh.
Oh.
Hello, Ramblers. I thought I'd write to tell you about the time me and a few friends were having a few drinks at our local sports bar when in walks Paul Ince and his MK Dons staff.
Oh, here we
That's
go.
That's why I mentioned it now, because I just mentioned MK Dons.
Clever.
The hotel's quite frequently used by visiting teams of Exeter City FC. During the night, as Paul and his staff got more and more lubricated, more and more doe-eyed locals would run up to him, ask for his autograph, and then run off like little excited schoolgirls.
Fawning acolytes, you might
call them. Being quite lubricated myself, I thought I would not pander to this man like everyone else, and me and my friend spent ages trying to think of the best insult to hurl at him, mm-hmm. but the best we could think of was shouting prick and then pointing at someone else, which is obviously not very grown up. But wait! Then I had a flashback to when Ince was Blackburn manager and he'd had shoot written on a piece of paper.
Yeah. Oh yes.
Ha ha, thinks I. Ha ha. This will either make him laugh or really piss him off. Either way, win-win for me. So I quickly scrawled shoot on the back of a mini golf scoring sheet and proudly wobbled over to him with my piece of comedy gold ready for him to sign and said nice and loudly, please, Paul, can you sign this for me, please?
Nice.
He signed it without even glancing at it.
Really?
Arrogant.
I was gutted. Not even a little titter. Keep it the rambling, James Knight, Exeter. P.S. We resorted to shouting prick as he left.
I think you claim the moral victory there, James. Great stuff. That's a disappointment, that. I mean, you'd love him to get it right. Because I can imagine, from what I've heard, not met the guy, you've not met him either, Ince, have you?
No, I've heard a few things.
But I can imagine he wouldn't have taken that well.
No, defiant.
Yeah, I don't. I get the impression he's not a likeable chap.
Does he only put his, like, when he leaves the house, does he only put his shirt on as he's walking towards the front door?
Clever. That's referencing his, when he was a player, he had a superstition where he would only put his top on just before they went out.
In the tunnel,
as they were just walking out.
Yeah. I like to think he applies that to everyday life. That'd be amazing.
Roy Hodgson once commented on that, saying, well, if he, just as well, he's got quite an attractive body, because if he didn't, then it wouldn't be best advised to do it or something.
Consummate gentleman.
Yeah.
Roy, consummate gentleman.
Very well. There's been some Champions League qualifiers.
There have.
And Cassano's not going to be Cassano and Sampdoria aren't going to be playing in the Champions League.
Mm. The only word I can use is devastated. He was absolutely beside himself. It was a cruel way to go out as well, I think, you know. Mm.
Football can be a cruel game, Luke.
We should mention that the other round of qualifiers is happening tonight, so we don't know what they are.
Yep.
But we only know the results from Tuesday night. But yeah,
Werder Bremen and Claudio Pizarro are through.
I mean, look, if you Partizan Belgrade, Werder Bremen and Braga all went through.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, think of their play. I mean, Anderlecht were unlucky. They got that. Oh, my God. My good God. Did you see the penalty shootout?
I saw Suarez.
I'm not joking.
Talk me through it, Pete.
Well, imagine the highest you've ever seen a man kick a ball from standing position.
Double it.
And add 30.
Times it by the number you first thought of. It was honestly like a sand wedge golf shot.
Really? Was it?
It would have... I don't think I'm exaggerating to say it would have cleared 3 goals.
You're joking.
It was a real feat. It was like, well, what was that? It didn't even slip or anything.
Is it like when you play on like AstroTurf, and you know how the fence is quite high, and behind the goal sometimes they do it like double.
Yeah.
And someone clears that, and you think, how have you done that?
Yeah. he took a divot, to be fair to him. But it was... words cannot... Like, as we've said before, words barely scrape the surface. But yes, and the boy who took the penalty after Suarez didn't do a great job either, to be honest.
No,
but Lukaku scored for Anderlecht. He's some prospect here. 17. He's absolutely massive. He is massive.
Good. That's the Champions League roundup so far. But a lot more to come from the Champions League, Glenn.
It's a long old campaign.
It is.
One thing I want to add, actually, real quickly, is that Mateus and Lima look really good for Braga.
We'll keep an eye on
Lima's got a hat-trick.
Mm, we'll keep an eye out.
In Sevilla as well.
It's not
at Sevilla. No mean feat.
Not
on Sevilla.
Yeah.
In Sevilla, at Sevilla, on Sevilla.
Yeah.
With Sevilla.
No. With severity.
Yeah, I was trying to work that in, but I didn't.
I'm just filling Marcus. Your words out.
Yeah.
An elk has been banned for 18 matches.
Oh,
South France
seems harsh. I love the way football consistently delivers when it comes to getting really, really pointless, harsh penalties for really innocuous things. I know it's not innocuous, but you don't think of racism and match fixing.
Yeah.
No, he's said something bad about the manager. 18 games.
It's like when the Leicester nightclub Zanzibar banned us for a month. Didn't want to go there anyway.
Yeah.
You mean banned you?
Yeah.
Never went there.
It's exactly like that, Pete. I think the nation would agree.
Why did they ban you?
Because people were stealing beer.
Were you cutting pork?
From them.
For people who haven't listened for a while, Pete used to have a job cutting up pork at Leicester City Football Club.
Yeah. Filbert
Street. Is it related to that or not?
No. Okay. You're the pork boy. Out.
Yeah. We'll have no scandalous cutting of meat in this establishment.
Pork off.
Yeah.
This is a Jewish establishment. Out. Pork all of your hands.
Oh dear, oh dear.
They thought it was a dirty protest.
Porky protest. Petey's porky protests.
Yeah. A new series from HBO.
Oh dear. Let's not dissect that too much. And now, because ATV. Yeah, as you say, Pete, he did sort of say, well, when did I ever say I wanted to play for the Blues again anyway?
Didn't he crack up laughing?
Yeah, apparently.
Le Bleu.
I don't think Nicholas
Anelka. I bet
he I don't think Nicholas Anelka has the ability to laugh.
No, I saw him laughing.
Did you?
Yeah, I saw him laughing.
Were you there when he found out?
Were you the one that told him?
I was there when the news was unveiled through his headphones.
Right,
which almost definitely happened.
Communicate with him through
headphones. Do you remember when he went home early from the World Cup and he was in the airport with like a massive puffer jacket on with big headphones?
Yeah, that's right.
The trouble
with
footballers is they've always got their bloody iPods on, but they've all got terrible taste in music, Stuart Pearce accepted. Yeah. It's just like, I don't know. They all just crappy R&B.
It's all like R&B. It's all like Usher and R&B.
I heard Gary Neville's all right. Got a bit of taste in music. Really? Apparently Gary Neville...
he can't be rubbish at everything, can he?
No, that's true. Gary Neville once, he...
Moustaches. Now we're talking.
Moustaches, did you?
Gary Neville.
Moustache. What a moustache.
You remember the Pete Donaldson unshaven goatee?
Pete's facial hair is very reminiscent of Gary Neville.
Oh, come on.
You are like Gary Neville.
I've got Johnny Depp before. I'm not falling down to Division 4.
Don't make it out that happens all the time.
It's happened three times quite recently.
Well, I'm telling
Same
you
person.
Now.
Once in South Africa, once at All Tomorrow's Parties, and I said it once to myself in a mirror.
Marcus, if I may.
One of them doesn't count. Listeners, you figure out which one.
Allow me to venture that you look exactly what
this is
Adolf Hitler and Gary Neville would look like put together. Just stuck a pair
don't
of glasses
start the Hitler thing again.
No, I'm going to stop there. That's nasty.
Sorry.
Okay. The truth hurts. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. You are a wonderful man. And
I've just done a parky protest.
And I'd like to kiss you, but not when the mics are on.
You're building a picture of me.
I can imagine when you were at that nightclub in Leicester, Ella's mates were firing and the bouncer just went, no, not Hitler.
Not stop Hitler. It. Not here. You're not annexing Zanzibar.
Oh, dear.
Unbelievable.
Naughty. Where were we?
Well, I think we were
Gary Neville. I had a story about Gary Neville. Apparently, he bought a signed guitar, or an auction from Noel Gallagher, a signed guitar from Noel Gallagher.
Was it not Wayne Rooney, this?
No.
Okay.
And Gallagher signed it.
Okay.
Because the guitar wasn't there, it was going to be signed by Noel Gallagher.
This is definitely Wayne Rooney. Yeah.
No, it's not. And Noel Gallagher signed it, and he put Noel Gallagher, and he went, Gary, you're the worst
Oh, he did!
You're the worst player ever to reach 50 caps for England.
Yeah.
That's what he signed.
Because the Rooney one, he gave him a sky blue one, didn't he?
Yeah,
I thought you were going to say that, but that's a great one, yeah, I remember that, yeah. Good lad.
Why didn't Gary Neville say, don't get a guitar from...
Yeah, I've got a story about Noel Gallagher giving away guitars, Wayne. Not interested. I'm getting one anyway.
I'm not interested.
Yeah. The next story can only be brought to you by saying, Paul the Octopus has become an ambassador for England's bid to host the 2018 World Cup. Pete Donaldson comment.
I'm often not listening, Connor, so...
Jim's been there for 3 weeks. Tell him to come back.
Yeah, say hi.
Yeah, can we tag team?
Yeah.
Is
that the same day that Nick Clegg said to the FIFA delegates,
Nick Clegg?
Our bid is unbeatable.
Yeah.
Look, we've got an octopus.
Yeah.
Yeah, Russia, what have they got? Yeah, yes. have they got any cephalopods?
there's the
word.
The traditional
there's
big
the
word
fish.
From Luke Moore. John Barnes. Now, we've all heard of John Barnes.
He's set in midfield with Charlton Athletic.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I was too unfit to play in the Ramble team. Yeah. Oh, incidentally, we lost.
Oh, yeah, we did lose.
Oh, sugar, yes, against Tom...
Goulding and his team of listeners.
I always think Tom Paulin.
No, it's not.
You imagine playing football against Tom Paulin.
We lost 4-3 and they deserve to beat us. And I think it's only fair we say it.
However, gentlemen, there is a little twist in the tale. Because without anybody knowing, I took a crafty urine sample from one of their players.
Oh, yeah?
He failed my drugs test.
Yeah.
So the
I don't want to know how you tested it.
The result is null and void.
Yeah, it's a draw.
No, we did. We lost 4-3. It was bound to happen. Sorry to break it to you like this.
Yeah. How many matches did we go on beating? We didn't even count it up.
123,000.
It was a decent run. I was as surprised as anyone else, to be fair.
To be honest, I think we had we got fed up with it, so we just kind of stopped winning.
We did go 2-0 up, as I recall.
Yeah.
If you want to challenge
you, Marcus,
us, do it.
Challenge it.
We need another team to get back into it. So we get back on the horse.
Yeah, if you're not very good, then get involved.
So talking to me, sorry.
Yeah. Back to Paul the Octopus. Back to the serious stuff.
Can he play in goal?
He probably can. John Barnes said, after his success during South Africa 2010, Paul the Octopus is undoubtedly one of the biggest names in football, so news of him becoming an official England ambassador is tremendous for the Back the Bid campaign.
Is this his real quote?
Yeah, that is it.
The man who did the rap on World in Motion and scored that goal in the Maracana in 1982 has resorted to that.
Undoubtedly one of the biggest names in football. That's what he said about Paul the Octopus. I must say, though, that Nicola Hamilton, who's the manager of the Weymouth Sea Life Centre, where Paul the Octopus comes from, she's let herself down in my eyes. She said that Paul has spent the last 2 years of his life in Germany, but he is definitely a proud Englishman. and is therefore delighted to put his support behind England 2018. We have had a number of footballing approaches from around the world, but Paul's only ever going to choose his homeland. And she said that apparently Paul feels quite passionately about England hosting the campaign.
This is a nonsense.
If there are anybody from the...
if there are anybody.
if there is anybody from the... from the mental health unit, you might want to... Nicola Hamilton of the Weymouth Sea Life Centre.
You've got to worry about a woman who dedicates her life to those faceless creatures.
I like that they've got a mental health unit in the Sea Life Centre.
Yeah. All that stuff she actually said.
No, I know. Yeah. I'm more worried about John Barnes, if I'm honest.
Really? Yeah. She referred to an octopus as an Englishman. Dear, oh dear. Right, Pete's cleared his throat. Back to footballing matters. We're going to South America. It's about time. Internacional of Brazil have won the Copa Libertadores, beating Chivas Guadalajara of Mexico over 2 legs, 5-3 on aggregate.
Always messes me up, the whole sort of time difference. Not time difference, a sort of league, sort of season difference.
Well, Sandro is moving to Spurs, which is probably already here now. They gave him like 2 days. You know you're saying that he's going to be a week partying. They gave him like 2 days. I think they sort of preempted it. So I'm like, you're coming back 2 days. You're signing for us and you're coming over. So he's on his way to, he's on his way, or he's at Spurs now, with a couple of Libertadores medal.
That's right. Yeah, it would have been odd if Mexico had have won that game because
Kivas, you mean?
Mexico, yeah. Sorry. It would have been odd if Chivas Guadalajara had have won that game because Mexican sides do compete in the Copa Libertadores on an invitation basis. And as Tim Vickery, who writes brilliant blogs for the BBC, would say, it's basically because the South American Federation want the revenue, the fans,
because they
advertise to sort of 100 million people in Mexico or whatever, so they invite them in. But if a Mexican side does win that competition, they can't represent South America in the World Club Championships.
Didn't they get treated really badly as well, the Mexican teams, when it came to the swine flu thing?
They did, yeah.
They couldn't agree where they were going to play. None of the teams would go to them for the away legs and stuff.
They
really
literally
bad.
Had the lurgy.
Yeah, they did.
While we're in South America,
but they couldn't get rid of it, Pete.
While we're in South America,
sorry,
Martin Palermo's been piping up.
Oh yeah, it's always nice to hear.
He's been having a little dig at Lionel Messi.
Oh yeah.
Which was a bit odd one. He said he was on TV the other week, and he said Messi isn't Maradona. To me, Messi does not have Maradona's mentality. I think we can all be pleased about that. He's not prepared to carry the team. He's not able to take the role of leader. He won't do it because he's not used to this position. He grew up in another way. He lived differently. He's been with Barcelona since he was 12.
I'll translate that into Diego Maradona is no longer the Argentina coach. Therefore, I've got no more chance of representing my country. Football. Therefore, I want to spout off a bit.
Lionel Messi, he's not a leader, he won't pick me, etc.
Well, it looks like Riquelme might be coming back to international football. So, it'll be great and really, really interesting to see how Messi gets on with Riquelme in the team as well. Because his best international spell, in my opinion, was when Riquelme was in the team.
Can I tell you about a dream I had?
Please do.
It was... I can only remember a little bit of it. I don't know what was going on, Pete, but... Argentina were playing, Lionel Messi was on the pitch, and for some reason or another, Maradona got subbed on. and he came on and he played a little bit deeper in midfield.
That happened in the World Cup.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
So, and I could see in my mind, Maradona and Messi have played football on the same pitch on the international level. And at one point, Maradona slipped Messi in.
Yeah.
It was slightly overhit though, and Messi was like properly running. The whole crowd were going, "Go on! If it's a Maradona assist and a Messi goal, this is going to be it. We can all stop watching football.
The world will explode."
And the ball just ran out of play, and the whole stadium went, "Oh!" And then I woke up.
What a disappointing dream. I had a dream.
I've seen Messi and Maradona the same.
I had a dream that Lord Ramble and me were having a heated debate about who should do the washing up, because you two didn't bother doing the washing
up. This happened in Joburg.
Yeah. No, that's an unrelated... this is 2 weeks ago.
His dreams are rubbish. You're only just repeating things that actually happened.
Boring things that happened.
Yeah. Less of a dream, more of a documentary. more of a recap.
Boring dreamed Peter.
Shall I do an email? I've got
please,
an email, yeah?
Do please, an email. Please, please.
Rambleforce Hall. Oh. This is from Dan. He doesn't give his second name, so he's not going to get as much credit as he would have hoped. As I was walking to work the other night, a poster for an event at a popular discotheque in the gay district of Manchester struck me. The headline DJ for said event was a man called Luke Pompey.
Well,
has someone got a sideline in Europop Trance House as well as being in Barry Glendening's Portsmouth 11?
Tell us, Luke, tell
please
us.
Please be true. I've never even been to Manchester, unfortunately. So it's not me.
Yeah, you would say that, Luke Pompey.
Yeah. On a footballing note, all these 6-goal hauls in the Premier League are somewhat overshadowing the terrific start to the season that Chorley FC are making in the Evo Stick Northern League.
Quite rightly.
Under the leadership of Gary Playing Away Flitcroft, and with former Rovers hero Matt Janssen up front, Chorley's stats for the season read played 2, won 2, scored 12, conceded 2. I'm hoping to make it to their FA Cup preliminary round game away at Salford City on Saturday on the way home from Blackburn v Arsenal. What a footballing day. I shall report back on their progress next week. Please do, Dan. That'd be nice.
And your surname,
isn't
Dan.
Dean Windass turning out for a team
in
Yorkshire?
He's turned up for some combined counties league. Mm. Yeah, I can't remember the name of them, but he's like 41 now. Something like that. Yeah. He still do a job at that level.
Chris Ronald still plays.
Pelenty.
Wonderful specimens, it's profile time. Here we are once again. And it's not a player. It's players.
Yeah. More bang for your buck.
That's right. East German players. It's the East Germany national football team.
Oh, so that's a very, very broad spectrum.
Isn't it just?
Yeah.
Isn't it just? Well,
communists.
They were.
They were communists.
That's right. We are looking at East Germany, more specifically East Germany versus West Germany in the 1974 World Cup, but with an East German slant.
Bit of background first, I would have thought.
Exactly.
Yeah.
East Germany, well, the state or the country of East Germany was created in 1949.
18 years before the summer of
and 4 years after the summer of violence.
Indeed. In 1949, when East Germany was founded, the football clubs were banned under Soviet occupation. However, everybody loved football so much, a lot of efforts were made to play football again. So there were some teams, and there was a chap, a manager called Helmut Schön, who coached selections of Saxony and the Soviet occupation zone, and he moved to the West. He moved to West Germany, he fled. Mm-hmm. More on him later.
Okay.
I have to mention that there.
I've made a mental note.
That's right. The plot will thicken.
It's like we see the killer at the start.
That's, that's right.
The film.
Helmut Schön, ladies and gentlemen.
Listeners, make a mental note now.
Hold Schöne.
East Germany applied for FIFA membership in 1951, which was protested against by the West German Football Association, or the German Football Association, which was in West Germany, who were already a member. And the FIFA accepted East Germany in 1951, and in 1952 they became a full member. So in 1952, East German football team were open for business, as open as they could be, considering the political climate at the time. The first international game was a friendly, more of a display of goodwill, really, against Poland in Warsaw, and they lost 3-0. Not a great start, but you know. You have to start somewhere.
They're getting games under their belt.
Exactly. They didn't even consider entering qualification preparation for the 1954 World Cup, which of course West Germany won. And when West Germany won, the East Germans saw the euphoria and the celebrations that went on in West Germany and thought, right,
we're having a piece of this.
We want a piece of this, as Luke said. That was the direct translation.
Yeah.
They abandoned their policy of presenting a group of socialist role models of their new German state, that's how they were selected for the national team.
Right, okay.
Instead, they went for the rather bizarre approach of playing, of selecting players according to ability.
Wild.
Yeah. So anyway, there's a little bit of background. Let's leap forward to the summer of 1974. It's the World Cup.
Yes.
In West Germany.
Yeah.
East Germany have been drawn in the same group as them.
Is Kanu playing?
Why have you
in
meant...
the tournament, not in the
game?
Oh,
right, and I don't think Nigeria qualified.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
That was so. I presume that it wasn't just decided upon a. Actually, wasn't the World Cup sort of the teams, the drawing sort of part of it, a little bit mental back then? It was all a bit mad.
Yeah,
because I mean,
what do you mean back then?
No, I think. Yeah,
but it wasn't particularly fair. Back then,
whatever happened, Pete. They were
again,
drawn.
What do you mean back then?
I just fear for the sanity of someone who draws those two countries together in a league situation.
This is the governing body who made a massive faux pas by having to choose between South Korea and Japan for the World Cup in 2002, realising it's a massive political head fuck, so they had to give it to both of them.
Yeah.
In 2002, Pete.
Well, anyway, the East Germany were drawn against West Germany in the first round of the tournament in the summer of 74.
That would have been the game that the BBC would have been showing.
Yes, absolutely. And it was the only time ever that the two nations played against each other at in a professional level. They had played in the Olympics, I believe.
Okay, right.
But obviously they were very different back then. The West Germany were the reigning European champions at the time, and they had Beckenbauer and Overath and Gerd Müller playing for them, and the goalkeeper Meyer, who's a fantastic player. And they were coached by Helmut Schön.
Oh, here he is, back again. Once again.
Sorry, Pete, what's that I can smell? Is that a subplot?
Is that a callback?
So, that an extremely experienced side. And all those players, I think, or a number of those players were playing for the Bayern Munich side at the time.
So FIFA drew these teams together to play against each other?
Well,
didn't they, basically?
Was it out of a hat, was it not? Was there a hat involved?
I think I'd rather say it was yet another skid mark on the already very soiled underwear of FIFA, wasn't it?
Well, I'm not here to promote such a rumour.
Fair enough.
But the East Germans were comparatively inexperienced in the international arena. Their football and obviously the other aspects of their lives was scrutinised and heavily guarded and watched by the Ministry of State Security in their communist regime.
Mm.
And this didn't help the development of the domestic league and domestic players, of course. So the match was a lot of political tensions at the time. I mean, even one example of the tensions was that the players were told not to swap shirts on the pitch after the final whistle in view of the political sensitivities at the time.
It's crazy when it interrupts that sort of thing, isn't it? It's mad when it spills over into the actual game itself. Remember when USA played Iran and stuff like that?
That's right. But they did a little gesture though, didn't they? Yeah. They all they had a picture taken. That was the way it lined up. You had an American player, an Iranian player,
right?
And it was, I think that's what
it's crazy though, isn't it? I mean, that sort of political climate surrounding a football game is mad.
Yeah. Well, and at the time, especially in the '70s, there was a lot of political tensions anyway. Mm. People ducking out of tournaments and we don't want to play them because of this. It was all the rage.
Happened in the Olympics as well, didn't it? Of course.
Yeah. Some people dubbed it the brotherly match between the two nations. In 1974, and the match was the last match of the first round in that group. The West Germans had beaten Chile and Australia, and the East Germans had beaten Australia and drawn with Chile, and then Australia and Chile both drew. So they were both through, East and West Germany.
Right.
They were already through, so it didn't matter so much. But it was still
Try telling that to them, Mark.
Exactly. It was still a very important match.
Try telling that to Shun.
The West Germans were huge favourites, as you can imagine, with being European champions, and had successful World Cups and so on and so forth. The East Germans were no mugs, though. It has a little bit of a little fact for you. The East German champions Magdeburg had won the European Cup Winners' Cup after defeating Milan in the final.
That's not bad.
So, you know, they had a few decent players.
There's a pedigree there.
Yeah, yeah.
During the match, lads,
yes.
Do you think there was a direct free kick? And in the direct free kick, what have you got to avoid? The wall.
Oh my God.
To avoid the wall. I've been sitting on that for a while.
I almost heard that being shoehorned in, like physically heard it.
Oh, dear. So, back to the profile.
It's because there's a Berlin Wall.
Oh, I
made that clear.
No, yeah, yeah. I did get it.
Thanks for joining the dots for me, Pete.
Yeah,
you little devil. So the West Germans before the game were very confident, and in their minds, I think they just kind of dismissed the East Germans and thought, "Well, we should win this." Apparently, a lot of East Germans supported the West German side because under the communist regime they were living, they weren't fans.
Well, you can understand that, yeah.
Yeah, there was 1,500 specially selected East German fans. They were chosen to travel to Hamburg where the match was played.
It's like the North Korea fans in the World Cup.
Well, yeah. So, Helmut Schön was the manager. Of course, he was born in East Germany, so this was a huge game for him and everybody else. The match, there was a lot of respect for each other straight from the off. You see, once again, we talk about the Germans. You know, they are very different with this kind of thing, and they were very professional. And they're already through, so there's no point in kicking lumps out of each other or going full throttle. You're already through, even if it is such a match with a highly charged match. Let's not be silly. Let's think of the bigger picture.
Yeah.
There was only three bookings, for example, the whole game. All East German players. There wasn't much action apart from Gerd Müller nearly scored in the first half. I think he hit the post. So it was a pretty quiet game. People thought, well, West Germany will probably see it out and then maybe get one towards the end. But then it happened in the 77th minute, Pete. The East German goalkeeper, Jürgen Kroy, he released it. Erich Hamann down the right hand side. He'd only been on the pitch 10 minutes.
Holy crap.
He raced forward unchallenged until confronted by Franz Beckenbauer. However, the German libero was tentative in closing his man down, and Hamann flighted across onto the edge of the penalty area. There on cue was Jürgen Sparwasser. And he kind of jinked the ball. It's quite... You should watch it. The way he kind of head, shoulder and chest jinked it past the opposing defenders, including Bertie Vogts. He got into the box and he slotted it home. 1-0 East Germany.
Yeah.
And that's the way it finished.
No, what a win.
The East Germans beat the West Germans on the world stage.
What a win.
Absolutely incredible. And the world couldn't believe it. Helmut Schön was absolutely demoralised after the defeat. So much so, there are rumours that say Beckenbauer had to kind of step in and help manage the team as well, because apparently he was absolutely distraught by it.
Was he?
And that the fans were also gutted as well. Beckenbauer said, you know, the goal from Sparwasser woke us up, otherwise we would never become world champions. Because West Germany went on to win that tournament.
It's weird because, but they're such a similar people, as in they're the same people.
Yeah.
That's the weird thing.
It's absolutely incredible. Now, this is the same side. Under Schön's leadership, the German team, they were runners-up in 66. They were third in 1970. The European champions in 72. Of course, they won the World Cup in 74, and they were runners-up in the Euros in 76 as well. And Schön holds the World Cup records for both coaching the most matches and has the most wins, and he remains the only coach to win both a World Cup and a European Championship. Quite some pedigree indeed.
Yeah,
there, man.
Of course, because Spain have changed managers.
That's right, yeah.
Recently, yeah.
So, top spot went to East Germany in their group. However, that brought more problems for them, because they went into a group after that with Brazil, Argentina and the Netherlands.
That is a hell of a group.
Yeah, whereas Germany went into a group with Yugoslavia, Sweden, Poland. So
stitch up. I'm going to say stitch up.
And it ended up the West Germans went through, the East Germans went out, and West Germany won the tournament, you know. But the tournament, it was East Germany's only appearance at World Cup finals. And Sparwasser's goal made him one of the most famous sportsmen ever to come out of East Germany. Incidentally, Michael Ballack's from... I know it's not East Germany now, but that's when he was born. I think he was born in East Germany.
Okay, right.
Yeah, he would have done, yeah. Sparwasser, he was when he scored, he was a 26-year-old student, qualified mechanical engineer.
I was thinking more about the only manager to win the Europeans and the World Cup. I was thinking about France, but they had Aime Jacques and Roger Lemaire, didn't they? So they changed as well. Great feat.
Yeah.
What a feat.
Sparwasser, he was honoured with a bust in Hanover in 2000. And we like a statue.
Yeah,
bust,
we do, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. I think everyone does. I think so.
Now, I said earlier about the players not being able to swap shirts. Well, apparently once inside the tunnel, Paul Breitner for West Germany.
What a player he was.
Oh, yeah. He swapped jerseys with Sparwasser. And the two jerseys were forgotten for 28 years until the players donated them for a charitable cause. And in 2002, the goal scorer, Jürgen Sparwasser, his jersey raised nearly €16,500 at a charity auction in 2002. Quite brilliantly, the East Germans never consented to another game with the West.
No, ever again. You've had your chance.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. They played one game on the world stage in West Germany, and they beat them. Absolutely incredible. East Germany and West Germany were drawn together in the qualifiers for the European Championship of 1992. But, of course, towards the end of 1990, the wall came down, and they became a united Germany, so they never got to play again.
Thanks to David Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Well, he was there. I'm not sure he had too much.
He seems to think so.
Yeah.
Well, apparently they Belgium were in the group as well, and they didn't cancel the game. They changed it to being a friendly, and they won 2-0. They won their last match 2-0.
No, that's nice.
I can remember East Germany going to play Scotland at Hampden when I was living in Scotland at the time.
Oh, really?
And they beat them 1-0 at Hampden. But it was really odd, because as a young lad, you were like, "What's who's is this West Germany? Is this really? We were like, and at school we were all going in, oh yeah, they got beat by, no, it wasn't the good Germany.
Nah.
It was like the other Germany.
Because back then in World Cup 1990, West Germany were known as FR Germany, the Federal Republic of Germany.
Yeah,
so obviously different. And Germany, East Germany were known as GDR, weren't they?
That's
German,
right.
Democratic Republic. Yeah.
Of course, after the reunification, some of the players who had played for the East German team were now eligible for the German team, such as Andreas Thom, Ulf Kirsten, and Matthias Sammer, perhaps the best one.
Oh, yeah, I'm
pick of the bunch. He was led Germany to victory in Euro 96 and was European Player of the Year in the same...
He was sweeper by then, wasn't he, Sammer?
Yeah. Just a little note, East Germany's most capped player was Joachim Streich, who's also their top scorer. 55 goals in 102 games.
Not bad.
What a striker.
Oh, yes, Pete. But the final word has to go to Jürgen Sparwasser, who scored the only goal of the only time East Germany and West Germany met. And he said, "If one day my gravestone simply says Hamburg 74, everybody will still know who is lying below."
Ah, oh, good.
Wonderful stuff. Come on in, East Germany.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the Football Ramble for this week. If you'd like to get in touch with us, the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com, and the website is thefootballramble.com. And of course, we do Ramble Extra, which is out on a Friday, over at 442.com. Pete, have you got some thanks?
Yeah, we're going to do some thanks this week.
Good.
And every week. So this week, thanks to Kevin O'Malley for offering us tickets to James Corden's sports panel show. Thanks to Bill Miller for offering to take us to a Detroit Red Wing ice hockey match, but he said he wouldn't let us stay on his couch.
Not big enough.
I know. And finally, thanks to Clive Parnell, Marcus's old coach at high school, for taking him on a football trip to the US back in the day. Remember, Marcus, two-touch football, he says.
Yeah. Big time, Clive. Wonderful stuff.
Good stuff.
Wonderful stuff. If it wasn't for Clive, I'd have been a professional footballer. No, I'm joking. I jest, of course. Yeah. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Say goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. We're all off to call Paul Ince a naughty word. Ta-ta.
That's an urban myth.
That's outrageous.
That's an urban
They're crack commandos. Why would they not be furnished with toilet paper?
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.